Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
I'm making it, Mike, check it. Yo, here I am. I'm making it, Mike, check it. Yo, I want it, Mike, check. I want it, Mike, check. I bring the level up. I want it, Mike, check. Yeah, I want it, Mike, check.
Everybody, I wish I could rap. That would be a good time to rap. This is Again With This, Beverly Hills 90210 edition. Today's Wiggity Wiggity Whack episode is Season 3, Episode 10, Home and Away. And now, here are your hosts, Tari Ariano, my wife, and Sarah D. Bunting.
Hi, Sarah.
Oh, hello.
Let's quickly...
I cannot rap either.
No, none of us can. Why would we even try? We wouldn't, and we won't. That's not a teaser of anything that's going to happen. It is not.
No.
Let's quickly dispense with the B story so that we can get to our sure-to-be very yelly A story, shall we?
Yes.
Okay. Kelly and her daddy issues. Kelly's rarely mentioned biological father called from Barcelona and they had a great conversation. As she is telling this to Brenda and Donna, I don't know if what she's wearing is a jumpsuit. You can see in the visual aids. I do know it's a halter and it's backless and she's wearing it at school and it's not okay.
No, and neither is, well, I guess we'll get to that later, and in the visual aids. Oh, but what she wears to meet with her dad is... what you wear to meet with your sugar dad, and it's
what
way too much boob for Pops, in my opinion.
What I actually thought looking at it was something that I thought watching The Bachelor this week to do, by the way, plug The Bachelor dating show crazy face posts, that is my joy. Watching the women at the cocktail party, I'm always like, where do they even get these dresses? They're like old fashioned. They all look like they've just walked out of a music video from like around this time, like 1991 to 5. No one ever looks good. They just always look trampy, and there's like too much sparkle and too much cutouts, and even when they're full length, it's just too much. And this dress that Kelly is wearing that you'll see in the visual aids would look 100% at home at a cocktail party with Ben next week, and that is not a compliment. Anyway.
Yeah, or on the runway in Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead.
Oh my God, totally. Anyway, Kelly's father is coming to town especially to see her, she says. Later on, Brenda's telling Donna, Brenda tells Dylan she wants to go to Spago if this dance that's about to happen gets canceled. We will get to it, to meet this guy. But Dylan is pretty sure that he's not going to show up. And so when the girls are shopping for dance dresses later, Brenda decides to take what Dylan said to her in private and raise it to Kelly's face in clip number 2.
Kelly, are you sure about this?
Too mature.
No, it's just...
Yes.
I mean, when was the last time you actually saw your father? What right do you have to make judgments on my family? Kelly, I didn't. Brenda, you live in Walshland. You have no idea what goes on in other people's families. And if you don't know anything about something, maybe you should just shut up.
Yeah, basically.
I mean, yeah. On the other hand, she does kind of have the right to make judgments about... your family, since she was a bridesmaid for your mom?
That's true. That's a good point.
It was a coked out mess at a fashion show the entire school saw. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Also, your father is Sean Donnelly, but we'll get into that later.
On the night, Kelly covers for her father that he's just running a little late. But of course, when Dylan rolls into the peach pit on his way to this dance, Nat directs him to the corner table where Kelly is despondent. And you can hear that in clip number 3.
He didn't even have the courtesy to call this time. He had some woman... who claimed to be his secretary, call and leave a message for me to talk. Your father's very sorry, but he'll make it up to you next time.
Some things just never change.
last time this happened, I called Cliff Berman and we got high at his parents' pool house for 3 days. My mom didn't even know I was gone. She was so coked up.
Well, I hear Cliff's in town. You can call him right now if you want to.
What are you saying?
I'm saying that that was then. Some people do change, Kelly.
One thing I liked in this scene, and I got it for the visual aids, is that when she's telling the story and she's upset, she sets her jaw like sort of to the side, exactly the same way that Anne Gillespie does, who plays Jackie. So that was a nice detail if it was intentional, because she really looked like Jackie in that moment.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
Yeah. Just something.
I was too busy being annoyed by Dylan being a fucking emotional know-it-all again.
Seriously, God, like, you're so together about your own daddy issues, Dylan. Jesus Christ. Anyway, the other thing about that is that, like, if he was coming from Barcelona, like, he clearly didn't get on a plane, you know? Like, someone could have called him when he missed it and been called her and said, don't get dressed up 19 hours from now. Your dad's not coming. Whatever. Moving on. Let me clear my throat for the yelling that's about to happen. Okay, so
me. Okay.
Our A story, homecoming racial drama and dancing. Andrea is in the Blaze office, very testy. Brandon hilariously stares gravely into his computer screen. See it in the visual aids. And it's because he's working on an editorial, which starts out in typical navel-gazing Brandon style in clip number 4.
It was just another Friday night in America. I don't think any of us stopped to think that from Pompano Beach to St. Paul, kids all over the country were doing the exact same thing we were. I mean, how much more typically American can you get than a football game, a high school dance, and a burger joint? What was atypical was that for only the third time since a man walked on the moon, West Beverly was undefeated after 3 games. And what was even more unexpected was that my sister, Brenda Walsh, had volunteered to become the head of the dance committee.
The rest of the readers of the paper and their parents, a lot of whom read The Blaze, don't give a shit about Brenda and the dance committee. Brandon! And,
I mean, she's not Dylan. How off-brand is that for Brenda, really?
Yeah.
It isn't really, is it?
No.
And also, the entire country is not Pompano to St. Paul.
No, that's half the country.
There's a couple other time zones you missed.
Yeah. The other thing about this, and if you watch the episode, which, you know, you can or not, it's pretty terrible, but there's this framing device of this article that he's writing, but then that ends halfway through the episode. So is this the editorial, or is this like the story of the writing of the editorial? Like, how completely?
Or was this the dummy editorial that he said he was going to put in before
right.
he wanted to put in the like sweary? Yeah, it's very confusing. That and the fact that they're using very broad generalizations to talk about what actually happened at mm-hmm. this other high school, whatever. We'll get into it.
Yeah, this whole the framing device of this story that he's writing is ridiculous. And if it is the dummy story, I don't know why he was so intense about starting it. But that does explain why it's so bad. It's not actually
Maybe
supposed to be published.
Because it's physically hard to type. Like, those are some really heavy, clacky keys.
That's true. I haven't.
Maybe he's like, I want to know what I'm going to say before I get repetitive strain injury from typing a single sentence.
Yeah.
Clack.
Ergonomically, he's in a really bad situation. You can see how fucking dumb he looks typing because I made a GIF. But he's like, he's sitting way too low. So his arms are like, his elbows are below the edge of the desk.
Total kids table.
Yes. But also he's trying to like clearly Jason Priestley is trying to get some acting into his typing. So there's like way too much shoulder action. It's just so bad from start to finish. Whatever. Brenda is heading the dance committee, as he said, to raise money for the frequently name-dropped kids as the Alvarado Street School in the barrio. So I guess that's why. I don't know. She's never been civic-minded. I assume that was the point of like why it was out of character for her, because she doesn't really give a shit or participate, really. But anyway. Donna, in a storyline we will, I'm sure, not touch on hardly at all, is upset that Sue is openly hitting on David in front of Donna. Which, you know, she does ineptly, but on the other hand, it is David. Brandon is hanging out with the football jocks as though apparently Kyle and Tony were still allowed to continue participating in West Beverly Athletics after their steroid scandal last year. But anyway, this other team, Shaw, is going to be tough competition for the homecoming game, for particularly for West Beverly, which is, as Brandon said, historically shitty at football. And sure enough, Shaw shut out Wilshire 49-0. And Steve has some other info to add to this in clip number 5.
The guy said something happened in the closing seconds of the Shaw game. Some violence or something.
Well, it's a violent game, Sanders. I think it was pretty major.
Maybe if we hadn't been on a winning streak, I would have jumped on the story. But it wasn't until nice breakfast the next morning that it registered. Something major had indeed occurred.
I thought they were supposed to increase the peace. The gangs are at it again.
Hey, that stuff.
Two spectators those gangs. Were shot to death in the stands at a high school football game last night.
Where?
You ever heard of Shaw High School?
Yeah, I've heard of them. That's the team we're playing next week.
At their school?
Yeah.
I wouldn't count on it.
Bring.
Sorry, cut that off a little late. Someone tell Jim, don't say increase the peace and don't quote slogans like that and just don't. Anyway, Brandon's at a team meeting where everyone's in a tizzy and things get racial.
Why is Brandon at the team meeting?
Because he's the sports editor. Oh, no, wait, he's not. There is no reason for him to be there other than for story reasons. Barely.
Yeah, this is like Andrea having to stand there during the steroids episode while the coach is like, yeah. You know, Bernstein over here has brought shame upon us all. Show of hands, who's bummed about it?
Anyway, things get racial basically immediately in clip number 6.
Oh, hey, there's no way I'm going to play down there, man.
What are you worried about?
Oh, what's that supposed to mean?
It means that I have a little bit more to worry about than you do.
Hey, look, it's not about the color of your skin, bro. It's about where you live and how you talk and what kind of car you drive.
This is an interesting Braille. Idea about class versus race and how this would play into it for the apparently one of maybe three non-white players on the West Beverly football team that does not get explored at all, really. Anyway, the coach comes in and says he's going to an emergency school board meeting about this whole situation. Brandon's editorial or fake editorial or whatever the fuck he's narrating goes back to Brenda, who's now trying to book a band. Donna's hair is terrible. You can see the visual aids. It's like going out completely horizontal from her head again.
Oh my God. It looks like they stapled two bricks of ramen noodles to the side of her head.
Because it's so teased and it's so dry. Like just looking at it, it hurts your eyes. And Brenda's hair, which is mostly pretty good this season, is also really tall. It's just a lot of bad. Anyway, Donna wants Brenda to quit auditioning bands and just hire David. Even Kelly thinks she should. After this school board meeting, there's no decision. Brandon Cock walks out of there, and another kid who introduces himself as Jordan Bonner from Shaw, so I guess you should assume that he's black, which he is, catches up to him to ask who he was talking to and what he said, and Brandon is Brandon about it in clip number 6, 7.
Well, there won't be any formal decision made till Monday at the earliest.
Anything else?
Well, the prime concern is to make sure it's safe to play the game next week.
The tone.
No kidding. This is so unnecessary.
Well, two people were killed.
By a rival set from another school. It has nothing to do with you people.
Well, considering we're supposed to sit in the same bleachers as the two people who were killed, I'd say yes, it does have something to do with us. Not to mention the fact we're going to have 25 players down on the field.
It was an isolated incident. You don't have anything to worry about, man. Unless some of your West Beverly homies are planning something.
Fortunately, we don't have much street violence in Beverly Hills.
Shut up!
That doesn't stop you from being an expert on the subject now, does it?
Yes!
It's been really nice talking to you, Jordan.
They're going to cancel the game. You know that, don't you?
No, what I know is that Coach Chapman, Mrs. Teasley, and the whole damn school board is in there on a Saturday afternoon trying to figure out any way they can to make sure this thing happens.
You know, Brandon of Beverly Hills, you don't know squat.
Yeah!
Bonner, Bonner, Bonner.
Brandon will lecture fucking anybody about anything. He never, ever, ever thinks there's anything he doesn't know. Like, it's fascinating how consistent he is. Amazing.
Oh, and the tone immediately. And then the minute he's questioned, he immediately goes into Bray mode. But here's the thing. It's particularly interesting that he thinks he knows everything about this subject, given how unclear it is, how unclearly it is being explained to us, the viewer.
Yeah.
Like, what exactly happened in this initial incident?
Right. Two kids.
Another high. Yeah. Another high school. A third high school.
Mm-hmm.
MacGuffin High.
Yeah.
Had a gang that came to shoot at Shaw fans.
Mm-hmm.
And kill two of them. Is that, would you say, an accurate assessment of?
As near as I can tell, that is, yes, that's what occurred.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I don't understand how it actually, I don't actually understand how it has nothing to do with West Beverly. It's not like they're playing the game in Omaha.
Right.
The same set of fans will still be there. Like, unless someone explicitly says the people causing the beef between the gangs were killed and now it's over.
Right.
Which, in my limited understanding of gangs, it's not really how that shit works.
Do you have a lot of street violence in Summit, New Jersey, Sarah?
Actually, we were briefly the manslaughter capital of Union County.
Whoa, is that true?
Yes, I'm afraid so. A bunch of youths beat a dishwasher to death.
Oh my God.
And, filmed it on their phones, put it on Facebook.
Oh, Jesus.
Which is why we're also the stupid capital.
That's terrible, but yikes.
Yeah, don't move to Summit, folks.
Oh my God.
Montclair, keep it tight.
Ugh. Well, anyway.
Anyway.
The upshot of this scene is Jordan tells Brandon that the school board's going to cancel the game, and he ends up being right, because he's not Brandon, thank God. Back in the present or whatever, Andrea checks in on Brandon's progress, and he's a cock about it, because he's Brandon. He's apparently pushed whatever he's writing so far that they're down to the wire. He promises Gil that he can get it done in 45 minutes, but then Gil leaves and Brandon tells Andrea that there's no way he can do it. But then she says, how long do you need? And he says an hour, like, really, 15 minutes is going to make the difference? Okay. Isn't it in fact that you're lying and being overly optimistic about your delivery date time? Please, people, don't do this to anyone in a position of authority that's waiting for you to deliver something. Just tell them when it's actually going to happen. That's a PSA from me to you. Moving on.
Agreed.
On Andrea's behalf. Brandon looks like a tool when he types, as we previously mentioned. How much got cut out of this episode? I would like to know that they have to keep padding it with scenes about how late Brandon is with the story, but whatever. Soon enough, we find out that it's because this is all a ruse. Brandon and Jordan are working on a scheme, but there's a lot of faffing around. And after the commercial, we get to hear Brandon tell us how this experience has made him consider his privilege in a way that's sure not to be irritating at all in clip number 8.
Even though I am editor of the West Beverly Blaze,
co-editor,
I never realized how isolated our school is.
Co-isolated.
We can't see past our own concerns. I guess I knew that before the game was canceled.
Okay. That paragraph negates itself, so you're a shitty editor. And also, why should editing a high school paper make you so enlightened? I would like to know. Clearly, it never has prior to this point. Shut up, Brandon.
And you didn't even want to do it, so.
Mm-hmm.
If I may.
Yes.
People that work on school newspapers, speaking mm-hmm. from experience,
yes.
have this real, or at least they used to, you know, I'm sure school newspapers barely exist anymore. I'm sure they're all websites now.
Mm-hmm.
But they used to have this, a lot of people that worked on them just had this assumption that this was like the golden ticket to like the fast track to go work at, you know, the Toronto Star or, you know, the Washington Post. And
yeah.
it was like, it's not. I mean, because like everything at university, it doesn't actually prepare you for the work world. It just prepares you how to learn things,
mm-hmm.
you know? And then it wasn't, you just get out there and it's like, oh, nothing works like it does at the stupid university where it's all politics. And this is the same thing, but
yeah.
it doesn't stop people from being entitled and assuming that they are but months away from a deputy editorship at a major metropolitan newspaper.
Sarah, is that your experience as well? I never worked on a paper.
I was a like secret humor columnist for the high school paper, and it was a tiny girl school, and I knew it was bullshit and treated it as such. Sorry. And then I worked for the alternative paper in university, so there was really no thought that that was necessarily going to go anywhere. Like, right. we actually did end up placing a bunch of people journalism-wise. Hmm. If you look at the masthead from when I was there. But the Daily Princetonian, like, that was pretty much, like, from the ice tray into the cocktail for those people. But they, I mean, they acted like they were working for the Blaze. So.
I will say that I went to a school that had no journalism program.
Right.
People still thought this. Really was, like, we didn't even have, like, advisors or anything. We just, like, we just did it, you know? Like, it was just... Kind
well,
of
that's
an,
what we did.
An oral
we also got in trouble
like,
for putting like porno stills on the back page. Uh-huh. So that's what we were dealing with at the alternative paper.
Do you know, do you ever see that famous, for the time anyways, illustration of all the Disney characters having sex? It was like an illustration from the 80s or 70s or something like that. Like that's the kind of shit.
We also ran that on the back
page.
Yeah.
Our paper too. Yeah, that was in our paper probably about five times by my count. Never during my tenure, but...
Yeah,
like that was a kind of like just DIY who gives a shit kind of place it was. And yet somehow the editors and co-editors and writers were going to immediately move on to big things, just like Mr. Brandon Walsh.
Can we backtrack to something you said earlier, Sarah? Now, when you said you went to a tiny girl school, is that a school for tiny girls?
Apparently not.
Did you have something else to say or should we move on? Sorry, I interrupted you.
Not really.
Okay.
I was just going to add to Dave's DIY note that sometimes if we were short, I mean, this was like a physical paste up that we had to do. So you'd print it out and sometimes you were short. So instead of like, you know, the New Yorker will like fill space with like a little
correction
drawing
or something. Yeah.
Or like there's a cat looking out the window at the Chrysler building. Yeah, whatever.
yes.
We would shrink down on the copier like Tom of Finland. Illustrations and use those to fill up space.
Uh-huh. Oh,
yeah.
Hijinks.
No, not a lot of quilled scroll awards flying towards chin of the Nassau Weekly.
Last thing I'll say about working at an old paste up newspaper is some days I think about using that waxer machine and how calming and zen it was. And I kind of feel like I want to buy one just so I can wax things. But boy, that was fun. Did you have those? The
waxers? This was actually a form of, this was like code for when you were being hit on by someone is them picking like a razored letter out of your hair.
Aww.
You have a widow in your hair.
God. Sorry, I don't want to go too down a rabbit hole here, but do you remember having to do stuff like using hairline tape to like, you know, put a border around a photo and shit like that. Like, my God, if I feel like talking about it now, it feels like I should be fucking Gutenberg pressing something. Like, it seems like it was a century ago.
You know, Dave, you could start scrapbooking if that was something that you felt
no,
like
No, I don't
you
miss
missed.
It. I'm just saying, like, the stuff we had to do, we literally had
awful.
To, like, cut four pieces of hairline. Like, it was a transparent tape with a hairline. Yeah. On it. And
when
you would
print shop upgraded and you could finally just tell print shop to just do it for you. Yeah. Oh God. And there was one time, all right, last anecdote and then we can get back to it. But we had to drive. I hope so. Cause I am avoiding going back to this story. Cause I'm
a people.
Have an aneurysm. We had to drive the paper physically to Trenton to have it physically printed on newsprint. And, one time, this was not my job, fortunately, but one time the then publisher was driving down there and in his beater of a car that did not have air conditioning and had all the windows open, and you can probably imagine where this is going. Like, the paper is flying out. So he's, like, on the shoulder of the New Jersey Turnpike picking it up, and that's why there were, like, whatever, tire tracks, and there's, like, a rock that got printed. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, you guys. The Again With This podcast turned into a reminiscences about old newspaper technology so gradually I didn't even notice.
Welcome to the Smithsonian Hour. I'm your host, S. Douglas Bunting, and I'd like you to remember that phones used to have buttons on them.
Buttons? We used to have to use dials in our fingers and you would ring it around. Digga, digga, digga. And if you had a number with lots of nines in it, why, you would be there all day.
Oh. Operator, get me Bryn Mawr 2468 on the double. We need the fire wagon.
back to 90210, if we may.
Fine.
May we?
Extra, extra, back to topic.
A lot of parents listen to this podcast, you guys. Okay, so everyone is...
I hope so, because they're going to be the only ones who have even a faint clue of what we're talking about. What's a newspaper? Exactly.
Printing, like on a... Anyway, everyone is chatting about the dance. Dylan doesn't want to go because he's so alternative. Brandon, who just met his... Brandon just met his fourth black person, so he wants to piss on everyone else's fun in clip number 9.
I have a novel idea. What if you just cancel the dance altogether? Are you out of your mind? I've got 2 A&R guys coming here to scope out my main men.
Oh, gee, don't make me nervous or anything.
Well, you'll do fine.
And what about everyone else, Donna? What are they supposed to do?
You know, Brandon, we're all upset that the game was canceled, but that doesn't mean the world has to grind to a halt.
Well, it just seems to me having a dance in honor of the football team without a football game is completely ludicrous.
Who cares?
Well, why don't you move the game up here?
And risk a drive-by shooting at halftime? I think the PTA would be really into that.
Brandon, you're making it sound like it's our fault the game was canceled.
Yeah, man, I mean, come on. The guys at Shaw, they never agreed to play here anyway.
And as much as I'm a sports fanatic, people around here are more into having a dance than a football game. What do you think, Sarah?
You're not going to drag me into this. I'll just stay over here in the neutral zone if that's okay with you.
The neutral zone?
You hear a phrase sometimes, and something clicks, and you're gone.
If only.
Car squealing away. He's such a prick. Why is he lecturing everyone about this? Like, Brenda is right. Like, who cares if it's the pigskin prom and there's no actual dance? It doesn't matter. It's high school. It's a dance. The end. Like, as if Brandon is so concerned about the memory of these two shot kids being, you know, trampled on by everyone's line dancing later. God. Anyway, Brandon gets an idea, and you guys are never going to believe this, but he took his precious fucking car to a potentially bad neighborhood, and we hear about that in clip number 10.
And as I drove south through a part of town I'd never actually seen before, I kept thinking of Henry Thomas, my boss at the Beverly Hills Beach Club. I couldn't help but wonder where his sporting goods store was located before it got trashed in the riots. I wondered how it could be that I didn't know.
Because you're self-involved?
Because you're a self-centered fuck?
You don't care about people? You didn't ask? You're not actually Henry's friend? You're just bringing him up to make you seem like you have cred?
You didn't need any sporting goods because you played every sport and brought your shit from Minnesota? Also, you've totally seen that part of town before when you were A, telling Carla how to live her life, and B, breaking down in your crappy lemon that your father had to buy for you twice, basically.
Yeah. Also, when he went to the tamale place where Vivica A. Fox's boyfriend was working.
Oh, yeah.
Although that was Inglewood. I don't know if this is supposed to be whatever. Doesn't matter. Brandon enters Shaw and has to take off his hubcap watch for the metal detector. So I like that they're protecting the kids by recognizing that as a potentially deadly weapon. It's so fucking big. Jordan is not into Brandon's idea of relocating the game to neither school. And then Brandon makes the excuse of trying to make his point by using what he thinks is Jordan's vernacular in clip 11.
Oh, God.
You know, I came here in good faith, man, and you just keep dissing me. What's with that? What do you want me to say? It was very noble of you to trek down here. Man, you need to understand what's real. If we play this game anywhere but here, we might as well hand the community over to the gangs. The truth is, until we can afford to have everybody in this world live happily ever after, we need to take a stand right here, where the people can see us, hear us, and understand that we are not afraid to be.
A show about Jordan is already so much more interesting, and this is only the second scene he's been in. God.
Totally.
Anyway, Jordan then tries to open up to Brandon, and Brandon is a fucking idiot about it in clip 12.
This was Bose Hinton's locker. One of the kids that died. He was my friend.
Was he a gang member?
Oh, God.
I just... How many different ways can we say shut the fuck up?
He's so tentative asking, too. It's like, was he a, how do you say, a gang banger? Am I saying that right?
Was he a tough?
A grand bourgeois?
A ruffian?
A ruffian, a blackguard.
Was he someone's henchman?
Surely he was not a scofflaw.
Was he a goon of some sort?
Hired goon.
Hired goon.
Again.
Yes.
As opposed to volunteer goon.
Right.
I'm a little unclear on where the exact issue is. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I feel like they're fighting about privilege and, you know, violence and can't we all just get along? Mm-hmm. But in this abstract way, which, okay, fine. But then the concrete details of what actually happened or what the issues are, mm-hmm. like they keep referring to the violence, mm-hmm. but it's always unclear to me, like, what any of this, any of their, like, proposed solutions would actually do to address the concerns that led to the cancellation of the game in the first place.
Yeah.
And aren't they all in one unified school district? I don't know.
Right.
I don't get it.
We're again.
This is what I like. This these little nits are what I focus on, so that my brain doesn't explode from hating Brandon.
Yeah, this is the problem. We're giving this more thought than anyone who actually wrote this episode did. This I really feel like there was a different version of it, and that this the narration of Brandon's story is like a cover up for stuff that got cut because it didn't work, because there's a lot of points where, like, you see people talking and that, like, that just might, it looks like real scenes were shot and they weren't just like peas and carrotsing. But this is just a theory. I have no idea if that's true. Whatever. Brandon.
And then
asked,
sometimes Brandon's voiceover or what he's saying winds up being like a direct, like, it just literally repeats whatever was just said.
Right.
So I think you're right. Let's move on.
And again, this is like Jordan has shown up at school when Brandon was finishing writing this thing that he's working on. And now we've gone like further back in time to when Brandon went to the school to meet him. It's extremely confusing and convoluted. But I assume no one's expecting anyone to pay as close attention as we are. And no one should. Moving on. Brandon, having asked whether the kids were, this kid that he's talking about was a gang member, Jordan asks if that matters, and Brandon concedes that he guesses it doesn't, but he still clearly wants to pry. Jordan was friends with both of the kids who were shot, so he's annoyed that all Brandon cares about is a stupid football game. Fair. But he has a suggestion, and it's in clip 13.
You should write a eulogy.
I didn't know your friends.
A eulogy for the game, man.
By the time I was ready to leave, we had a plan. He had already written a eulogy for his fallen friends. I'd write one for the game, for a way of life. We'd publish our pieces together, in both our papers, side by side.
One game getting canceled is not the end of a way of life. He's acting like the school board is letting the terrorists win. God.
And why? You know what? Forget it.
All right. So,
like, I started to say why, and then a whole abyss just opened up and blinked. I can't.
Why to all of this? So Jordan gives Brandon a copy of the editorial he's already written, and Brandon goes back to school and gives a draft of it to Gil and Andrea, and they are not feeling it in clip 14.
We can't publish this. I don't even know what to call this. It's so over the top.
That's the point. It's supposed to be incendiary.
And racist?
No.
He practically calls Coach Chapman a Nazi. We'll be sued.
And why did he have to use so many swear words?
Because he's angry. What, he wants to put a warning label on it like they do on CDs, pretend it's a rap song?
Brandon.
Come on, Gil. This is the best take we're going to get on the two kids that were killed.
But what if Brandon edits it?
No. Jordan and I are not going to edit each other. I insisted on that.
Brandon, it's too long. Swear words or not, it's got to be edited.
Really, Brandon, I mean, help us out here, because I'm having a very hard time convincing myself that you believe much of what I'm reading.
The point is that he believes it.
And that's why he should publish it. You want to take a stand, then write your own editorial, but this isn't going to fly.
Sorry, Ace.
And whatever you write, make it great.
Don't hold your breath.
Yeah, good luck.
Also, I just want to mention something to Gil and Charlotte Rampling from the news today. That was Charlotte Rampling before my voice gave out, because I'm already too screamy. When black people are against white people, they should be most of the time. That's not being racist. You can't be racist against the ruling class. That's not a thing. Everyone shut up. You too, Michael Caine. Everyone should boycott the Oscars, as far as I'm concerned. Just wanted to get that on the record.
I was going to do that anyway, but now I can feel like a politically active person for doing it.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, I wasn't going to watch either,
but God. Ugh. So stupid. Anyway, let's hear a little bit of Brandon's editorial and find out how well he followed Gil's make a great mandate in clip 15.
Two kids were shot to death, and the buzz on this quad continues to be, at least they didn't cancel the dance. And we wonder why we can't get along. What are we going to do, people?
Ugh.
Form two lines and throw rocks at each other? Or maybe.
Works for
just
me.
Just maybe. We can join together to form one circle. To those who want to form the circle, to those who are willing to start at the beginning, I, Brandon Walls, personally invite you to...
Okay, don't call your readers people. It's fucking obnoxious.
If you're going to call them people, put a fucking comma after the word previous... editor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not good. What happens then is there's a knock at the door that makes Brandon stop in his what he was inviting them to, and that's when Jordan shows up with his editorial. Brandon says it's already in the system. Didn't change a word. Again, crackerjack editor. Jordan laughs at how naive Brandon is to think that that swear-filled rant was his real story and that Jordan thought it was fit for publication. In fact, what Jordan's written is only two paragraphs. Brandon hands over his editorial and it's a whole fucking sheaf because it's fucking Brandon. And Jordan has concerns in clip 16.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
What?
I appreciate the invite, bro. But I think we're doing a huge thing here just by publishing these two pieces together.
Yeah, but if we really want to shake things up, we got to do something everybody's going to remember for the rest of their lives.
I think they will, man.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I think we're great. I love the air quotes that you can hear when he calls Brandon bro.
Oh, my God. So Jordan Bonner is... You do wonder, now that you've mentioned, like, this episode probably looked completely different from, like, when it started to the end.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder now if part of it wasn't that people were like, wow, Jordan Bonner's really awesome, and we wish he were the hero of our show. And they're like, we got to recut this. It's not good.
Yeah, could be. If so, it definitely comes across because he's awesome in every scene he's in.
Yeah, and cute.
And cute, very cute. Then we see Brenda reading Brandon's article in horror. And then when he shows up out loud in clip 17, spread eagle.
Since the administration didn't let us have a football game, I, Brandon Walsh, personally invite each of you at Shaw High School to join me Friday at the Pigskin Prom. You had no right to do that.
Oh, come on. Brandon will be good for ticket sales.
You know, from the very beginning, you've been telling me how trivial this dance is. Well, congratulations, Brandon. You win. They're now going to cancel
Brenda, will you relax? Let's just wait and see what happens, okay?
Wait and see? Mrs. Teasley is in there talking to Mr. Myers right now.
Brenda, I really think you're overreacting.
Brandon!
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 Brandon! Brandon's such a prick. He's so cavalier. Like, he does not credit Brenda's concerns at all and could have run this by somebody before, but really the only people that have the most right to be mad at him are Andrea and Gil, since he snuck shit into the paper that was not approved.
Yeah, which would get you suspended in my high school, I'm pretty sure, but okay. Let's turn him into a hero somehow.
Mm-hmm. After the commercial, because as the music indicated, that was the act out, Andrea is furious that he didn't trust her to tell her what he was planning to do with Jordan. He keeps saying he's sorry, but it's extremely clear he is not sorry at all. Gil comes back from a meeting with Mrs. Teasley by saying that he covered by telling her that copy fell through the cracks, and Andrea is rightly furious about that as well, because it sells her out as, you know, not having supervised him. Makes her look unprofessional. Brandon tells Gil that he could have told the truth, but Gil says that would have gotten Brandon booted out of school, so apparently they do have standards here. And Gil only covered for Brandon because he thought that Brandon had changed Jordan's editorial from the version that they read, and then Brandon has to say that Jordan changed himself. And then a lot of problematic stuff happens in clip 18.
I'm sorry, Gil, but two kids got shot watching a high school football game, and nobody around here gives a damn. I mean, we live on this sheltered island. That's why I had to invite the Shaw kids to the dance.
Look, I know your motives are solid, but I gotta be back in Mrs. Teasley's office in 15 minutes to try to talk her out of canceling the dance.
Why you?
Because I'm the faculty sponsor.
You're kidding, right? What can I say? I'm a sucker for girls in party shoes.
Ew!
Gross!
That's creepy, creeper! You're a creeper! That's not okay. Ugh. Steve and Donner.
None of that is okay.
No, it's not. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm done.
Okay. Steve and Donna are mad at Brandon on behalf of David's career and everyone's fun. David in the booth is depressed very showily, which you can see I made a gif. And then Brandon goes directly to Mrs. Teasley to appeal to her not to cancel the dance. Again, her shoulder pads are epic. She is concerned about safety after the shooting, so Brandon decides to drop a little knowledge on her and some accusations in clip 19.
Miss Teasley, I've been to Shaw, and I've met some of the students, and they're not so different from us.
This isn't about the color of people's skin or how much money they have. It's about gunshots.
So what you're saying is if the shootings hadn't happened, they would be welcome here, right, Miss Teasley? Correct me if I'm wrong. Students from Shaw High School have never been welcome at this school, have they?
Ooh.
And why would they be welcome at a school that they don't attend? Like, so much of this is, like, just shit-stirring.
Yeah.
Like, it's, like, irrelevant. I mean, I see what they're trying to do, but it's, like, this was the rewrite to try to make it make more sense.
Yeah.
And... excuse me, where is Mrs. Denise Dowse's parade for successfully looking chastened by Brandon
yeah.
instead of getting up, taking one of her shoulder pads, and jamming it down his throat whilst it was covered in bees?
Yeah, in case you don't look at the visual aids, which you should, or watch the show, Mrs. Teasley is African-American, so it's extra loaded when Brandon basically accuses her of being racist against the kids at a less advantaged school. Like, shut up, Brandon, you don't know what you're talking about most of the time, and especially on this. What the hell?
Who knows whether, like, she graduated from West Bev or Shaw. Like, I am fine with that part of it, with him, like, showily pretending to be colorblind on this particular point. Fine. The issue is that she is your principal.
Yeah.
Don't talk to her or anyone else like that ever again. Don't talk. Die.
No. And, I mean, the question is, like, I mean, kids from other schools would have been welcome at dances at my school if they were invited, like, by an individual one at a time. Like, hey, do you want to come to my school's dance?
As
a date or whatever, as a friend. Like, not as, you know, 500 people come to our dance. Like, that's never would be okay, regardless of what school they were from, because, you know, there are fire codes. Like, whatever. Anyway, the girls are shopping, as we already heard. Donna's hair is terrible again. You can see in the visual aids. The dance is back on because Brandon successfully shamed Mrs. Teasley into talking to the other principal. And the other person, this other principal, doesn't think that the Shaw kids are going to go anyway. And then Brandon makes a very insightful...
Nor should they, because Brandon invited them. And I'm sure they're all like...
this squeef. Yeah. Then Brandon makes a very sharp observation in clip number 20.
Well, whoever said there's no more heroes never met your brother.
Yeah, you know, Brandon's really good at making you feel grateful to him for saving something that he screwed up in the first place.
True. Brenda then comes out of her dressing room and wearing what looks like a skating costume to me. It's like, it's white, first of all, and it's fully sheer through her midsection. Her belly button is visible. It's not okay. Also visible, a boom mic. Please see it in the visual aids. Speaking of objectionable clothing, David's leopard jacket, which is also sparkly and is huge and ill-fitting and in the visual aids.
And was picked by Steve.
Yep. Kind of would like to see Steve wearing it. It looks like he could fit it, maybe. Anyway, terrible. So Brandon has braided everyone about the dance at this point, except I forgot about his parents. Time to rectify that. Clip 21.
Look, Brandon, we're very proud of your journalistic skills, but what are we supposed to do when there are gunshots and you drive toward them?
I don't know, Mom. Build a fence around Beverly Hills, lock me in my room.
Please, make it soundproof. Thank you very much in advance.
And suck all the air out of it.
Mm-hmm. Then Brenda comes downstairs. Her parents really have dropped the ball today because they approve of her, quote, dress, unquote. And then Brandon comes out of the kitchen looking stricken after a phone call. It was Jordan, because wanting to let him know a bunch of Shaw kids are on their way to the dance, and some of them have been drinking.
Done!
But the show must go on, starting with a mic check, which we heard up top. I wanted a mic. I wanted to win a mic check. David dances at his guitarist, because Steve has apparently put together a band, or David has. It's confused. It doesn't matter. There's a gif. It's embarrassing to David. And Sue ends up at the front of the stage cheering on David for successfully pulling off a sound check. Embarrassing. And then Brandon, Brenda, and Nikki run in, panicking, in clip 22.
Look, don't worry. Everything is under control.
I wish, Donna.
What's going on?
What is going on?
Guess who's coming to dinner?
Ooh. I don't know about that line.
Yeah, don't.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kids, ask your parents. Cut to Jordan, stone-faced in the hall while a security guard detains him. The security guard, by the way, is total jabroni and like a windbreaker. Jordan tells Brandon they should get metal detectors, like just get them from the shed. Like, people are on their way now. Where are you supposed to acquire metal detectors?
I don't know. They're electric. Like, there's an installation. It takes more than...
Right.
2 minutes. All right, whatever. And then they're also like, where's Mr. Myers? Like, you have one faculty member at this whole dance.
I know.
And also, he's obviously outside smoking, but whatever.
Mm-hmm. No, he's getting coffee, air quotes.
Smoking a clove and reading Leaves of Ass again.
He's freshening up his hair with a hot comb. David's in the locker room.
I think you mean a panini press.
Yes.
Oh, way too proud of that joke. Sorry.
He's adding extra yeast to make sure it really rises, pops for the occasion.
Only you could top Gilbo Lee.
And then David is in the locker room freaking out when Sue shows up. He tries to make Steve get rid of her, but Steve won't. Sue gets tentatively handsy in her 14-year-old way. David said he's flattered by the attention, but still thinks of her as Scott's sister and calls whatever she's trying to do incestuous. And she finally backs off. But remember, that was the word that he chose in the future.
Dun, dun, dun.
The football players are all... Oh, no, I will spoil it.
You will spoil it.
The football players are all testosterone-y when Gil finally shows up to hear what's happening. And there is chaos.
With total jazz hands, by the way.
Yep.
I'm in charge here. Flourish.
There's chaos at the door. The Shaw kids just want to form a circle. Brendan and Dylan and... And Donna and Gil are nowhere near the door when this happens, so way to be in charge, guys. Finally, Gil and Brandon roll up, and the Shaw kids are admitted to the promised land to get to hang out with Brandon. How lucky for them. And for dance committee heads, Brenda and Donna sure are just standing around uselessly, not helping. Like, they don't seem to be doing anything, so whatever. Maybe this is why Brenda never volunteers for anything, because she's terrible at it. even Jordan is dubious of some of the Shaw kids who have shown up, and then they and the West Beverly football players start, like, fronting at each other. David is so great as the musical entertainment that he just stops in the middle of the song, so I hope the A&R guys aren't there yet. And then Brandon feels free to bark at a security guard. A scrum forms. Stupid David stops again, and when the security guards get there, they're all, get the Shaw kid out of here, but it's actually the one black kid on the West Beverly football team who got lines, and Tony. Everyone starts turning on the security guards, and then Nikki and Donna ask a couple of the Shaw guys to dance, taking up as much room as they can on the dance floor to make the whole thing look less pathetic. Donna dances like a stripper. If you don't believe me, check the visual aids, because I made a gif.
And she and Brenda have paired their skin-tight skater uniform dresses, both of them, with combat boots to look like actual army-issue combat boots.
Yep.
Which is a thing I did and wore. There's photographic evidence.
Yep.
Benetton Band-Aid skirt. My dad's combat boots.
Yep.
Not cute at all.
Yet, it is appropriate to the era. We all did it. Floral dresses with combat boots, also very popular.
Yep, did that too.
And then we get a reminder of one of Brandon's most durable character traits in clip 23.
So, Brandon of Beverly Hills, want to dance?
No. But you know me better than that, Chief.
Andrea's, Yes, I do know it, and you're boring. And then, trigger warning, David drops an all-new banger in our final clip.
Ew.
Hey, don't touch that, man. You're on the sound.
Trust me. Other. How one can I respect another makes me wonder. I use the forces like a Jedi, Obi-Wan can touch me. My lyrics grow along the sides of what's to make of positivity. No dissing me because of a position. Clear my throat, listen. They say follow the many, but the many can't get smaller. I learned about the hurt when I busted up singing college. They tried to suck me in and make me go crazy. Acted hazy, thought of myself mission but lazy. Made the music, yep, so I was respected. Not neglected, so the money was collected. Love my neighbor because my neighbor like me. I treated Jack, 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 the Miggity Mac. To switch it up, Jada, switch it up.
They switch it up, guys.
I actually don't hate switch it up. We are grading on the steepest possible curve, but I was doing a little chair dancing.
It's real. It's catchy, and his.
I also love that the Shaw guy is like. You're supposed to think of him as like adding that key thing that the song needs.
Yeah.
But all he's doing is saying yeah and then occasionally repeating a word that David said.
I mean, he's a hype man. Like, that's what they're supposed to do. And to be fair, he's never heard this song before.
Are you sure you don't rap, Tara?
Well, yes. in my native country.
I know you don't like to brag.
I'm known as Snow. No, I'm not. But yeah, it's not terrible. It's kind of good. And he's very confident. He also does this gesture after this other kid fixes the board and makes it sound better, where he's like very casually, you know, beckons in on stage. I don't know. He looks more comfortable doing this song than he ever has, which is saying something. And Donna starts a line dancing thing going, which whatever. Later, we see Brenda and Dylan slow dancing and kissing and not being pouted at by Kelly for a change. But then she comes by and he pulls her into their dance and they actually become a throuple, which maybe that would solve everyone's problems. Just saying.
It doesn't, but I will spoil it.
And then... Jordan tells Brandon that his dead friends would really like Brandon. I doubt it. Brandon watches the opposing football teams making friends. He assumes that there's going to be an unofficial game. We don't see it. No one cares. End of episode. We got through it, Sarah.
I didn't completely lose my voice. It did not increase my peace. I'll tell you right now.
It did not.
All right. Back to the newspaper talk.
Let's switch it up. Switch it up. Episode MVP, I feel like this one is very easy. Obviously, Jordan.
Yes.
Really, no obviously question about Jordan. That one. no question about this, probably either. Least valuable player. Brandon.
Well, yeah. I mean, most objectionable. I think least valuable is probably anyone in a position of any authority at either school. Like, try keeping an eye on anything your students are doing and having realistic discipline, but that's not really the axes along which we're gauging this, so no. Brandon.
And the Moo Moo Parker Challenge. Five ways from this episode, Brandon... might have ended up dead. Sarah, you've already mentioned one, but why don't you say it again?
Shoulder pad, yep. Bees, death.
I feel like that can count as two shoulder pads plus bees. Brandon could have gotten into a car accident in the bad neighborhood that he drove his precious car to.
Jordan could have set him on fire with his mind, which I really think was not far from happening.
One of the kid's restless ghosts could have come back and strangled him to death, American Horror Story style.
He could have been trampled during the line dance.
Gil could
Kelly have... almost was. Poor Jenny Garth has no dance game. They should have made her the one who doesn't dance. It's really too bad. She always tries, though.
She does, and she looks like she's having fun. I mean, they might catch her at moments when she's, like, out of character trying to get it and not. Is that five? I lost count.
Yes.
Pushed out a window by his parents there. That makes five. Okay.
They wouldn't dare. That's the problem.
They wouldn't. And our newest segment, the excerpt from the I Hate Brenda book. Shannon Doherty's first major role is on Little House, A New Beginning as Jenny Wilder, a role he created with her just specifically in mind because he liked her so much. And the part came just in time. Shannon's home was in financial chaos. The trucking firm her father Tom had purchased upon moving to California collapsed. He then suffered a stroke and there was little to no money coming in. Shannon's lead part enabled her family to survive. While Rosa fussed incessantly about Shannon's studies and hours on the set, Tom recovered slowly and pitched in as well. This burden was a heavy load for a young girl like Shannon. Her secret heartbreak, a close family friend told the star, I doubt it, is that when she was 11 years old, she was the sole support for her family. The Shannon we know is a bitter, angry young woman. It was a responsibility for which Shannon apparently harbored a resentment of tabloid proportions toward her family. The tabloid reported that Shannon at age 11 was supporting a grossly overweight mother and legally blind father, implying that they were opportunists capitalizing upon Shannon's career to support a lifestyle that they themselves were unable to maintain. The story attributed Rose's inability to work to her excessive weight, which made it difficult for her to walk, let alone hold down a job. A diabetic, Tom's impairment prevented him from maneuvering around the set on his own and caused him to stumble about and bump into things. Acquaintances of the family were reported to have said that Michael Landon offered Tom part on Little House, A New Beginning, but his sight got so bad, Shannon had to lead him around the set. It was heartbreaking to see such a little girl carrying so much of a burden on her young shoulders. Guys, I'm actually kind of sad.
Yeah,
that's
she
rough.
Actually mentions this in her memoir that this is why she was such a hag, basically.
It came up in the unauthorized movie, too. But anyway, more from the book next time.
Yes, and on that cheery note, it's an episode packed to the gill with bad touching allegations as Sue Scanlon breaks bad working out some family issues in a libelous way. Speaking of issues, our visual aids have them in spades. You can find those on our website at previously.tv, and you can follow us on Twitter at previouslytv. I'm Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm at Tomato Nation on Twitter. My esteemed co-host Tara Ariano is at Tara Ariano on Twitter, and our fine producer Dave is at Clark on Instagram. We'll see you next time.
Hi, you know what to do after the beeparoonie.